This is Data Citizens Dialogues, your guide to bringing trust to your data, decisions, and all things AI. For Calibra, I'm Thomas Brents. Hello again, and welcome back to Data Citizens Dialogues. I'm your host, Thomas Brents, and I'm here with Calibra as their head of portfolio marketing. Now, we have a rather special episode for you today. Honestly, we don't do a lot of repeat episodes, but this one, it needed to be done. The topic was just too important in today's environment. Today's topic is all about change management. And I'm joined by John Tucker and Avery Chandler from McDonald's. Together, they built something special. Within their data governance program, they have a change management professional dedicated to helping people understand how to go with the flow. If you're an avid follower of Gartner, you know that this is their latest advice for governance leaders. Let's dive in and hear how McDonald's was ahead of the game.
My name is Avery Chandler. I am a change manager within McDonald's Corporation. I've been with the organization for 3 or so years. My background is learning and development, kind of spanned across several different industries. And across all those industries, one thing has remained constant, right? And it's the study of human behavior and helping organizations, right, to foster positive and effective change. And supporting data governance, especially getting our data platform off the ground, there just has been a lot of conversations about how we can foster greater insights and get people on board and get them on that train, especially during a time of resurgence of AI.
I'm John Tucker. I lead the data governance practice here at McDonald's. Been with McDonald's roughly about 4.5 years. My background has spanned across about roughly 5 different industries. Been in the governance space for, you know, roughly about 12 to 15 years. Analytics, done operational management behind the scenes and financial services. And that's ultimately what brought me here, just more so focusing on standing up, you know, a customer loyalty program, but making sure that now that we're using customer data, we're leveraging that ethically, but also looking at making sure we have right data management processes behind the scenes to ensure that, you know, it makes for a great experience and we can drive better decision making off of it.
That's awesome. And of course, McDonald's, that feels like no introduction, right? It's probably one of the world's most iconic brands. Anywhere you go in the world, you can find a McDonald's, really. But so how did you guys find yourselves working there? How did you find yourself working at McDonald's? And what drew you to maybe to this organization and in this specific role?
I think what really drew me to it, as you think about, you know, this was during the pandemic. I was in automotive. Obviously, you know, the first year of the pandemic was pretty hard. We weren't selling a lot of vehicles at the time. We were even asked at the point to take a 30% salary haircut because obviously not selling vehicles, but way better than, you know, taking unemployment, right? And I started to, you know, as you have more time on your hands, we're, you know, driving around, just trying to get out of the house a little bit, but staying in the car. I started to notice, you know, as you drove past many different fast food companies, you start to see there's lines out the door, business is booming. And I started to think to myself, hey, you know, I really probably need to switch my gears and think about being in something pandemic proof. Granted, you know, it was the first time I ever experienced a pandemic, but really thinking about, like, I started looking at the stock market, you know, starting to look at seeing what was working. And I said, you know what? If there's a role out there in governance and, you know, the fast food industry, I definitely want to see, you know, kind of take, you know, what I've learned across the way from financial services and automotive and see, can I use that same learnings that I have and kind of, you know, make sure that that works within standing up governance in that area. So I looked at Wendy's and, you know, they had some opportunities. I looked at McDonald's and then I applied. I really enjoyed the conversations I was having during the interview process with the CDO and the director before me and, you know, just some of the business and data scientists, just really understanding some of the challenges they were looking to solve, especially as McDonald's was just starting to build their loyalty program. So, you know, going from a traditional company that only sold, you know, hamburgers and only cared about, you know, the marketing from, like, you know, how many customers are actually using promotions to really wanting to understand the customer and that personalization. I thought that was an interesting use case. So I definitely wanted to go along for the journey. And since they were just at the start of, you know, figuring out how to do data governance, what does that look like more broadly? I felt it was the right time for me to join the organization. So that's what kind of drove me here.
Yeah. And I can kind of talk a little bit more about my background, which started initially as in learning and development as an instructional designer. So a lot of the times strategies were coming to me and they were saying, hey, we need a training on this. Hey, we need a job aid delivered on this. And I was happy to execute time and time again. But the longer that you're in these positions, you realize like, really, what am I solving for? What am I working towards? Are we asking the right questions as to what the customer truly needs? And while I was blessed to have a seat at the table later on in my career, I knew that I really wanted to make sure that we are asking the right questions, we're identifying who our audience is, right? And we're actively seeking or identifying what behaviors we want to change. And a lot of times that wasn't on my table or for me to do, it was just to do it. And so as a pandemic took place, and I was at that time with Blue Cross Blue Shield, it was a very depressing time because you got a lot of people on those phones expressing discomfort and you're not being able to help. And at the same time, it felt like I wasn't able to help either. So, and kind of looking for something new, McDonald's was that opportunity that really reached out to me because it was really front and center change management, right? You're identifying, hey, this is what we're trying to build. How do we get there? How do we get people on board in a world that's constantly changing? Change fatigue is now at its all-time high. How can we think about alleviating that fatigue and getting people on board? And I think that's really where my skill set really excels, because it's not only about developing something flashy and new, but it's thinking about who that end user is and how we can help them hold your hand to get to that end result. And I think McDonald's has been that great bridge. Believe it or not, flipping burgers is more than just flipping burgers. You know, it's bringing a community together, driving across all these markets. So
for sure. And you guys, both of your backgrounds are fascinating. I mean, from healthcare to financial services, all of these industries, they have kind of significant data challenges. How have those maybe diverse backgrounds, how have those experiences shaped your approach to, say, data governance or change management now at McDonald's?
Change managers in general, I think we all kind of just have different backgrounds. I think that is our gift. A lot of times we come into a different industry or a different initiative and we don't know. And that's actually our strength. We should come into it from a perspective of, I don't know, but I'm here to listen and understand what are we trying to solve. If I'm having a reaction to something where I'm feeling taxed, I'm feeling overwhelmed, or this does not align, listen to your gut, because this may be what the people within your organization, the people on the front line are thinking also, and to ask those great questions. So I think in this environment today, that's really the quintessential where I am now and how I can really lend a great strength to data governance is why I was so eager to join John's team, because we're building this together and we're able to think about this from somebody who has not been in it.
Yeah, I would say as you think about the way industries are changing, AI is a big topic. And, you know, we were talking about things like this, you know, in financial services and automotive, of how, you know, a car will eventually drive itself and take you to its destination, but you got to make sure you have, you know, your longitude, your latitude correct. You got to understand where certain businesses are, understand the addresses, and then there's thousands of vehicle sensors out there. You take that into account when you get into food services, very similar, you know, if you're looking at drone delivery service, you know, you got to know longitude, latitude, or if you're looking at, you know, current services we provide with, you know, ready on arrival, where, you know, you place an order through an app or the website, and then you drive to the local McDonald's while using your phone. As soon as it knows you're there, within 10 minutes, your food is out to you in the particular parking spot that you're in. So, you know, thinking about all those various different data points, very much transferable knowledge and industry. But I think the only difference in the fast food industry is we don't have the mandate to really have governance in place. But I do believe AI's changed that. And I do think having the proper data foundation in order for organizations to use AI is definitely the driver here. And that's definitely why we're getting a lot of energy here, because now you have our senior leadership saying, hey, I want every single department to think about how we can use and leverage AI, not only to engage with our customer base, but also how do you create operational efficiencies? And that's really where the focus is going to be over the next couple of years, is how do we get more operational efficiencies, but also how do we improve the customer experience and also our crew member experience in the restaurants?
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's such a good point, right? Regulated industries, they have kind of that built-in need for governance, right? You know, some external body, some regulator has said, you have to get your stuff in order for this kind of data to be considered, right? And AI, for those not in that industry, right? Not in healthcare, not say in financial services, right? It has played that part, that key driver. Of course, that's a lot of change for some folks. So why did you think that your team needed a change agent? And what was the role really looking to solve?
Yeah, no, having been in governance, many different organizations over a course of many years, change management was always missing. And the reason I say that is you're asking a person to change a behavior, or you're asking them to do something in addition to their daily job, especially when you're talking about data ownership, being accountable for the data, understanding that when you change a business process, there are data impacts to that. And those data impacts could go really further downstream because you never know who's using that information to make decisions on how they drive the business. And I saw that, you know, in financial services, I saw that within the automotive industry. And then, you know, coming to McDonald's, a company that did not have a mandate, this is very new, and the focus is really driving customer business and engagement and interaction. And also looking at how do we create innovative food products, right? That's where the focus is, and it's still there. However, we now want the business to understand, as we think of, you know, new innovative ways to make food, or as we think of new innovative ways to engage with customers, whether it be through a drive-through, a kiosk, or a mobile app, website, or third-party delivery providers, we have to look at the data behind all of that and how is it interconnected? And then how do you know that you're reaching that success from the business standpoint? How are you getting that business outcome? And you need data for that. And we need to make sure that they understand as you change that process, how's that going to attribute to you getting to that business outcome? And so that's really where, you know, the change management came in, more of just taking them along the journey, listening to their side, understanding what they do today, how this is going to help, putting that story together. So a lot of storytelling goes into that, but also making them feel rewarded once the work is done. And that's really what we wanted to strive on, not just training them on how to do this, but also making sure we're going along with them for the ride. They don't feel like, hey, here's what we need you to do, and we walk away. We're there with you 100% of the time. And also, you know, change is also needed when people are changing roles or you have new folks coming into an organization. So we wanted to ensure that we accounted for that as we started to build out the program.
For the listeners, or the, you know, those of you that have, you know, kind of dove in and listened to a few of these episodes, you may remember John and I had a similar conversation at our Data Citizens event in Orlando, recording there from the show floor. And John, I remember you dropping this nugget about having a change management team leader on your team. I thought, oh, that's really interesting. Fast forward maybe a year later, and we're back at the Gartner Summit. Gartner's giving their whole keynote. And one of their big like takeaways from the, you know, the main stage keynote was you should hire a change management team. And who in the room has one? And I'm looking around for knowing that you're there. I'm looking around for John's hand to be up, only to find out I'm in like a different satellite room than he was. Change management, I mean, I know it's more than just a buzzword. How do you define successful change management, maybe within the context of a global franchise organization like McDonald's? And what does it really mean for the day-to-day operation?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. It really feels like a buzzword. I would say quite simply, for a large franchise organization like McDonald's, I think it's really all about execution at like a large scale. I mean, think about it. We have markets or restaurants, franchises across the world, right? And no matter where you are in the world, your food is going to taste the same. So oftentimes, especially on a data governance space, it can feel like maybe the work that you are doing isn't impactful. But let's take another look and look at our metrics, whether that be customer satisfaction, speed of service, et cetera. A lot of that information we can get within our own systems, but we have to make sure that our employees, our corporate employees as well, can know how to leverage that data, get to it quickly so that we can then make those great actionable insights. And a lot of times that involves storytelling and them understanding the tools that are at their disposal. And for the first time in my life, I am embracing the term storyteller. My mom used to say I'm a storyteller. It wasn't as positive then. Now it's great, you know? Because that's important. They have to understand the purpose, the why we're doing it, and how you can get the most out of, for example, a tool like Calibra, which, you know, we call Runway now. So,
and then to be a storyteller, right, you really do have to understand, right? Now, John, you and I have talked in the past about data literacy. So how do you build data literacy so that those folks on your team can actually understand? They can go beyond maybe, say, the technical training and make it a critical component of the cultural change that's going on or the adoption of new tools like data or AI tools?
Yeah. You know, I kind of tackle this in many different facets. One is, you know, if you're new on the team, and Avery will tell you this, one thing we make the team do is we take a course called How Does McDonald's Make Money? So they really get a good understanding of how the organization is structured, the many different nuances and the global capabilities we have, but also McDonald's is more so of a real estate company more than anything. And so making sure that they understand that complexity up front, but also one of the other things that we do, if you're joining like a governance team here, we make sure that you have the proper training, whether you have, you know, years of experience or whether you're just kind of starting out right out of college. We have courses, whether it be from, you know, Calibre University or Data QG, or we use Data Camp. We have those resources available just to ensure that they get the proper training on from their role perspective, but also if you're a data steward, the first thing I really want you to do is go sit with the business and understand day-to-day operations, understand the tools that they're using and leveraging, the applications, the systems, the reports that they look at, how do they make decisions, and then bring that back to the governance team. And then what we do is we start to figure out what are some of those challenges we want to solve for. Oftentimes what we find, especially with data quality, there are assumptions made. There's assumptions from when a data product was first created, what it was meant for. And you know that use case gets much more broader when you go 2-3 years down the line. People are using that data for different things, but it wasn't meant to be used that way. And so oftentimes we have to circle back and say, here were the original use cases. Here's what this data product was meant to be used for. Here's the data it does have within it. However, it may be missing bits and pieces because it wasn't meant for your use case. So one thing that we've really done is built out our data governance tool and catalog to show, here are those data products, here's the original use cases. But if you're looking for this type of data, we've now categorized all that data within our catalog so people can go out and look for it and find to see what data sources are trusted, where is it coming from, and then who owns it. So if you have additional questions, you can go and reach out to that end user. So we're kind of doing this from many different faucets, but I do believe with data literacy, it's one, before you just start deep diving into the data, it's easy to do that if you're a data scientist. It's easy to do that if you're very savvy with SQL and things like that, but it's truly understanding what was the original intent of those products that you're using or data sets. So that's our goal, is to ensure that we inform what that original intent was before folks go off and start building things.
I love that you've like thought of that from the ground up. And that just, I think, speaks so much to the culture that you're fostering there, right? Now, Avery, in a company that, you know, that has such a strong culture and established routines, right? Make sure everything is done consistently. How do you foster a mindset of embracing continuous change and innovation, especially when it involves technology that it might feel intimidating to some, right?
I have to kind of piggyback off of what John mentioned. It's so important that we have tools to foster innovation, to foster change. And a lot of times we speak on this question and say, you know, we just have to be there and we have to be supportive. But let me not forget that I am a human, right? And I go through change consistently, and I have to be transparent with you. At any moment, I may not be open to it. So if this is not a me taking myself out of the seat of anybody else who might be going through a lot of change as well. So when you acknowledge that, and you know that people are exhausted with many different changes that are going on, it's not just about my specific project per se that I'm trying to push change on or new technology. You have to kind of take a step back and going, what are we doing as an organization that may be causing some type of change fatigue? And then kind of pivoting, right, to make sure that it is the right time and the right place. If you acknowledge that everyone is going through change, you kind of then have to plan accordingly so that people then feel support it in the change that's happening all around them. It's not just about me. It's about what we're doing as a company. And I think, to John's point about innovation, we have to give them the resources to feel good about the change that's happening and arm them with the resources that are happening every single day. I've had people already come to me and say, Avery, there's a lot of change happening with RAI, and I have questions, you know, whether it be Copilot or ChatGPT. I'm excited to use these tools, but am I using them correctly? This is a great sign that people understand that change is happening and they're ready to leverage these tools. But are we also thinking about how we can arm them with the proper resources to ensure they're doing it correctly? And so we always have to be available to give them the supplies that they need, whether that be, for example, user guides, videos, policy standards, we're having check-ins, office hours, whatever, to make them that think that this is something that we are, as a company, is embracing. Here's how you can leverage it to be the best that you are to drive us to better insights. So I think it's just about being there and supporting them and providing those resources.
I think to add to Avery's point, one of the beauty things that we do have is when you start with McDonald's, we're all required to take restaurant training. So we all go out to the restaurant. We experience what it's like to burn fries. which I have.
That's awesome.
we service customers, and you can do that in more of a, I would say, a test environment within Speedy Labs, or you can go to an actual restaurant and work with the actual team, which is kind of cool just to see the day in and day out and actually deal with real customers. So, you know, as we come up with innovative ideas, we also have to experience it ourselves, whether we're bridging new technologies like kiosks, or whether we are doing something different with the drive-through, whether we're doing computer vision. We can reshape and change our kitchens just to ensure to see what that looks like for the staff that's actually going to be doing this day in and day out.
Yeah. I mean, if you've literally burnt the fries alongside of them, right? You can't help but have empathy for what they must be going through, right?
Absolutely.
It's a really natural human emotion. And I think AI does kind of strike up some of those emotions. I would imagine most of our listeners would agree, like, more often it's folks swimming against it. How do you ensure that your change management strategies emphasize the augmentation of human capabilities and, say, fostering a collaborative environment between humans and the use of AI in your operations?
You know, in McDonald's, the way we look at it is, we're looking at AI to gain efficiency, but also to help us make faster decisions. So as you think about, you know, a typical task that may take you 5 hours to do, if you start to think about how can I use and leverage AI to help me do this task faster, whether it's drafting emails or whether it's drafting, you know, training documents and things like that, how can I use AI to, and it has great capabilities, but how can I use that to help me do this role faster? That way you can make room to do the other things that's sitting in our backlogs. Now AI is allowing us to get to those backlogs. AI is allowing us to be more strategic. It's allowing us to be more innovative. And I think that's the challenge I think most people have, is that they spend so much time on the mundane tasks. They don't have time to really think of innovative new ways to work or new strategies. And so I definitely have embraced AI, as you can tell, which gives us the opportunity to, you know, work with companies like yourselves to, you know, innovate on how do we perform data governance? How do we make this much easier, faster, quicker, and smarter? That way folks can make those decisions.
And often that's sort of why people keep coming back, right? To listen to, you know, podcast episode after podcast episode, right? Because they're looking for advice. Now, Avery, with change management, one of the things we haven't really, you know, dove into in the pod before is what are some of the maybe practical methodologies or frameworks that you use in change management that have proven useful at McDonald's through this whole kind of transformation process? And can you share maybe a concrete example of how one was applied?
Yeah, absolutely. And John, I'm going to use the example of our McDonald's acronyms. For example, ADCAR, respect it. I actually leverage it in many different of our change initiatives. And for those who may not be familiar, ADCAR is just an acronym for, was it awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, and reinforcement. So whenever we have a new initiative, and if you think about it from a new employee perspective, you are bombarded right away with all types of different acronyms. I don't want to throw any out there today, but you might be going, mm-hmm, yep, yep. And then you get back to your desk and you're going, I have no idea what they were talking about, right? And so for me, I'm thinking that is a part of awareness. I'm understanding that there is a gap, that it may take people longer to get started because they're having to decipher what this means or ask questions. So now we also know that there's a desire, if I'm following the ADCAR model, that people want to know what this is, but do they know how to solve for this? Do they know where to go to get these questions answered? So as I'm digesting this, I'm now thinking, okay, let's get the knowledge transfer going. Let's do something in 3 minutes that basically states the purpose and it can tell them where to go, how to solve for this, and to get what they need quickly. And we place it in a location that everybody can have access to. But what if you also want to create an acronym for yourself because it's not available? Calibra's that platform that can do that. So now let's embed that within the resources that we have, and we're including this story that we're telling too. And then of course, we know the ability there. We can track to see how many people have submitted new acronyms or how many have been rejected, because it's not necessarily adjacent to McDonald's needs, but then it's also going back and looking at those metrics to see how many people have visited that acronyms list now that it's there. How many people have successfully submitted one? But I also want to make sure that people understand too, who are listening, that you have to think about how the process was before. How did people submit acronyms before? In this situation, right, we had a specific team leveraging it. So I want to check in on that person too and include them in the conversation. In most cases, if you just change a process, it could really work in the opposite direction of where you're going. So we had to check in and make them a very primary stakeholder. And then now they're change champions.
No, I love that. And one of the things you hit on it, I mean, it just resonates so well with, you know, a lot of the topics that we talk about here in governance, which is around KPIs and metrics. And how do you measure the success? How do you measure the impact of these change management efforts? Are there specific KPIs or metrics that just let you track that and demonstrate to your leaders the successful adoption and integration of these changes that you've made?
Oh my, it could really be a lot of different things. And John may have additional insights, but like, for example, because change adoption is so broad, and we'll talk about this later, I'm sure. But if it's a communications perspective, it's how many people did we see actually view the communication that we have? But also, if there is a process that has happened before and now there's a new process, do we see a decrease in the people that are accessing the old tool and an increase in the current tool, right? How many people are leveraging, for example, the business glossary or kind of submitting requests for responsible AI, et cetera? Those are indicators that maybe we're moving in the right direction. If, for example, we're seeing decreases, that's our key of not it being a failure, but there's opportunities for us to explore. Are people not being able to access our resources? Are people, you know, struggling to understand exactly how to navigate the platform? We'll do discussions or focus groups to understand what that gap is, and we will adjust. Because I just want to make it clear too that you often hear that, you know, change adoption efforts fail 70% of the time. And that does not mean that you are a failure. It means that there's opportunities or gaps that still exist. And so I think we have to understand that and just move forward with that type of mentality.
I love that. I love that spin. Would your mom call you a storyteller, right? That's pretty good. Yeah, that's
there
good.
You go.
I like that. And John, as McDonald's maybe deepens its reliance on data and AI, what are the next frontiers for change management? Are there new challenges that are emerging as AI maybe becomes more sophisticated or more prevalent in use?
Yeah, I think the challenge is, especially for our size, right? There's many different ideas. And so while we are today leveraging and standing up our AI governance module at Calibra, one of the things that we wanted to do was to bridge, hey, here are all those ideas, those great use cases that are out there, but where are we at in the journey on some of those use cases? Some are probably still sitting in a backlog. Some may be on a shelf not being used, and some may be, you know, in production, but it may be in certain markets. So I think the challenge is, one, making sure that we all go to that resource and look at what are all those great ideas. The other challenge is, you know, as you know, it was AI 2 years ago. Now it's generative AI and what you can use there. Who knows? It's agentic AI, I believe, is now, you know, the term, and how, you know, we can get things done faster, more like robotics processing. But I would say that, you know, it's just understanding the various nuances and where's the best place to apply them, not only just for the operational efficiency side, but also how do you apply that same type of AI technology, whether it be in our restaurants or how does it impact our customers? How do they engage with it? So I think that from a change management perspective, it's really getting everybody on board. I mean, not just the folks who are in a day-to-day operation, but also your leadership team. They have to know how these things work, how it engages with the customer. And then think about, you know, how's that really going to drive adoption, not just with customers, but, you know, our internal employees that they have faith in it as well.
Such great, you know, food for thought. And Avery, I want to give you the same kind of opportunity as we start to close out the podcast here today. What advice would you give to other, you know, say complex organizations that are embarking on their own data or AI transformational journey when it comes to change management? What's that maybe single best piece of advice that you could offer?
This is a simple one, and it's just don't treat change management as a support function, right? This is, look at it as a strategic component to your change endeavors in anything. And what I mean by that is a lot of times it's easy for us to just say, hey, let's develop a training resource, let's do a user guide, or we're brought in at the very end. Keep us in the loop very early so that we can then dissect who this person, who's going to be impacted, how this is going to impact the organization, what's our vision, what's our strategy, et cetera, so that we can look at this robust project from totality, like who's impacted, et cetera, right? And then we can then work with our developers or whoever else to make sure that those change elements are happening at the same time, not at the very end, because then we don't have the time that we need to properly dissect and create the change that we want, right? We are your strategic partner in this, not just, one aspect at the very end.
All right. It's impossible to have a bad time speaking with Avery and John. I've had the great pleasure of sharing the stage with John in particular, and I love to hear the latest that's going on with him and his team. As always, folks, I want to go over the three big things that I learned from each episode. And first, change is hard. It's an old adage, but really, it's hard. Having somebody on your team that's dedicated to helping people navigate these waters is critical. Someone with Avery's background in learning and development is particularly useful. If you think about it, as you put in new policies or new tools, having someone dedicated to helping others learn how to best use those tools will help you gain support. And let's be honest, adoption, it's your traction. Second, AI is the catalyst that you need for this investment. If you're going to advocate for a change agent, you need to look no further than the current moment around AI to push for this role. Knowledge workers are overwhelmed with what's available to use. What's changed in their lives? How can they best leverage AI? What are they allowed to use, when, and how? It's this kind of scenario that's ripe for a change management lead. Lastly, get in the weeds. Learn what your teams are going through. Be like John or Avery and flip the burgers, fry the fries, whatever that looks like for your org, do that. You'll learn what people are going through. And if we started all of this out with an old adage, let's end with another. Walk a mile in their shoes. It'll make you connect better with the teams that you serve. Okay, everyone, enough from me. I trust that you got a lot out of this episode as I did. To Avery and John, thanks for spending time with me. And of course, the same goes to all of you. Remember to give us a like, subscribe and tell your friends, and as always, for Calibra, this is Data Citizens Dialogues, and I'm Thomas Brents. Thanks for listening. Want even more insight into managing your data? Visit calibra.com/podcast for additional resources on the topics covered in our show. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Enjoy what we have to share. About a 5-star review. At Calibra, we absolutely appreciate your support. Data Citizens Dialogues is a production of Calibra in collaboration with Stories Bureau.